Roseanne Barr, host of the popular Roseanne Show, takes to Twitter, tweets blatant racist joke, has popular show canceled, blames it on Ambien. Whew, let's talk about it on Pop Life.
On-demand audio from WAER is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. To give or to find more information, visit our website, waer.org.
Hey there, I'm Joe Lee, along with my co-host Bob Thompson, pop culture expert at Syracuse University, and today we are revisiting a subject matter we talked about just a few episodes ago, and that is Roseanne Barr. Before we get started, Bob, I do want to remind folks from our reboot episode a little bit of your concerns at the time with Roseanne coming back to the small screen. Let's get a little bit of that.
I mean, this might come as a complete shock to you, but we almost lost our house the way things are going.
Have you looked at the news? Because now things are worse.
Not on the real news.
Oh, please!
It does, but I think it's being given credit for having a lot more of a political edge than it has. I mean, the whole Roseanne, of course, has been talking for a long time about being a Trump supporter. Roseanne has also been talking about some other really disturbing things. Her communications on Muslims, for example, are kind of alarming on a number of different levels. So not only does Roseanne, the human being, talk about her support of Donald Trump, Roseanne, the character, does as well.
So Bob, you alluded to the fact that she had some pretty bizarre behavior with the way she or what she communicated about Muslims and others, some of her conspiracy theories. And here we are talking about Roseanne Barr and having her show taken off the air because of racist comments she made about Valerie Jarrett. Did you think that we would be here talking about this so soon?
Well, I think ABC thought so, because I think ABC knew when they signed the deal with Roseanne that they were getting into potentially time bomb kind of territory. Interesting, when they first got, you know, all those great actors to come back, they re-signed all these people. They only gave that a 9-episode order in the beginning, which became 10, which is how many we saw. And even when they renewed it, and I might be wrong about this, but I think the renewal for next fall was only 10 or 13 episodes, as opposed to a full season. I think this is what happened. ABC looked back at that 80s and 90s show that Roseanne did, and they saw two things about it. Number one, it was a huge hit back then. That was a very big deal for ABC. And number two, and I agree with this, I think that show was probably better at portraying a certain group of our struggling middle to lower middle class citizens than pretty much any other show before it. We had, of course, The Life of Riley and The Honeymooners in the 50s. We had a Laverne and Shirley. We had The Flintstones, for heaven's sakes. Sanford and Son, All in the Family. I mean, Good Times. But really getting a sense of the life of our fellow citizens who are really struggling. Roseanne had episodes where the electricity got turned off. She got episodes where they could barely get the kids picked up home from school and home to be fed because they were both doing jobs. That show was really good at, I think, providing empathy and a sophisticated way of hard working class citizens. So I think ABC thought, what better time than to do that than now? And I think they were right about that. The only problem is they had to go to the person who had done it best before, and that happened to be Roseanne, who, as we talked about in that previous clip, has got a history of saying a lot of things that a lot of people, for good reason, find really offensive. They took that risk, but I think they had an eject button ready to go. And when those tweets came on Tuesday, they pushed that button pretty quickly.
So you think this was more sort of preordained or planned than it has something to say about our level of tolerance these days? You think that the low number of episodes that they were getting sort of hints at the fact that they thought there might be some trouble down the road?
Right. I don't want to say preordained. I don't think for a minute that ABC was planning on this happening, because there's no reason to think they would. But any intelligent network executive that was awake had to have realized and had to have known that this Roseanne relationship could become a problem. Forget all the tweets and offensive stuff of the last years. Way back in the 90s, she was firing people. She was a very difficult program provider to deal with. So I don't think ABC wanted this to end this way. I think they were really enjoying the fact that this was one of the most talked about shows to come along in a long time, one of the highest rated new shows in a long time, and it was a tentpole of their fall season. I think they were hoping that this thing was going to become like what the Cosby Show was in the mid '80s or Friends in the '90s. So I'm sure they were reluctant to cancel this, but I am pretty sure, and I hope it's the case, that they didn't have to think very long. I think when those ABC executives got one look at that tweet, I can't imagine them seeing that this was going to end in any other way but canceling the show, and they just did it, which I think was the right thing to do.
I'm going to ask you to do the impossible, which is to sort of predict how this might have played out on the other larger networks. Now, the question is this. Does the fact that Disney, which positions itself as a family-oriented network, does that weigh more heavily on the decision that they made versus, say, if it were on CBS or NBC?
I don't think so. I mean, there are two major variables with ABC that I think most people would point out. Number one is ABC is part of the Disney, and we still think of that as this, you know, chirping bluebirds around Snow White's head kind of thing. Number two would be that the head of ABC Entertainment, Channing Dungey, is an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two things that are different from on the other networks. But, you know, I think with this last tweet of Roseanne's, I don't think any of the ambiguity, I don't think any of the variables, I don't think Disney, CBS, whatever, I don't think it matters. That tweet was so deeply embedded offensive, and when I say deeply embedded, centuries of racist science and stereotypes and all this other kind of thing, that I just can't imagine that any thinking person could have responded to that in any other way but to pull the plug. So we could have these subtle arguments with other things. I don't think this was a I don't think this decision needed subtle arguments.
Yeah.
By the way, even one place you might expect to have seen some or heard some sympathy would have been the Fox News Channel. And I was flipping around on the day that tweet came and right after the cancellation was announced. And the Fox News Channel was giving absolutely no love to Roseanne. Mm-hmm. Shepard Smith was really going after her.
Yeah, well, Shep Smith is probably one of the brighter lights.
The brighter. You need say no more. I know what you mean.
Racism is not funny, and Roseanne Barr is a racist. Now her show is canceled. This is Shepard Smith reporting.
I want to remind our listeners about the comment or the tweet itself in which Roseanne said that if the Muslim Brotherhood had a child with Planet of the Apes, it would equal Valerie Jarrett, and she would be the offspring. So obviously a blatant racist comment. Do we know of any precedent where an actor or actress or performer had some crazy views like this, but was able to separate what they may have said in public from what's happening with the show? Or is it, can we just not get away from linking the two? Can you separate what an actor says publicly from the work that they produce for
well,
public consumption?
Well, of course, that's a huge question. What do we do with the films of Roman Polanski? What do we do with the films of Woody Allen? What do we do with the first seasons of House of Cards, the brilliant work of Louis C.K.? I mean, these are really difficult issues. Sometimes great artists in their real life do things that are not great, and sometimes they do things that are really, really bad and horrible. We have had other precedents of shows going off the air because of controversies. Don Imus comes to mind, though it wasn't as fast. He managed to do at least one day of his show after his Rutgers comments, right, before he was taken off of MSNBC. Bill Maher got pulled right after September 11th for some remarks he made. And I guess Charlie Sheen would be a good example, although he was just a guy that seemed to be kind of going crazy. Even the Smothers Brothers, it's ambiguous as to how, why they were canceled. They were a pretty big hit show, but that had something to do with the political headaches they were giving CBS in the 1960s. But this case of a show that, you know, just bursts onto the scene, a spectacular hit. I mean, for network television, this was a big, big deal to be canceled. I think that's one of the reasons that the evening news led that night with the story, and the next day, most of the cable channels were spending 10, 12 minutes at the top of each hour on this program, on this story.
Yeah, I think it's a shame, you know, that millions of fans won't have access to content that I think speaks to their lives. Unfortunately, there's a star of the show that just can't seem to show some decency. And another unfortunate aspect is that many hardworking people will lose their jobs and opportunities that were helping to produce and write and put this show out there. So you have the actions of one individual causing this huge ripple effect.
And she even acknowledged that in one of her apologies, and her apologies are going from apology to aggressive. It's all over the place as we speak. But she did acknowledge the fact that one stupid tweet affected all these people. And let's for a minute, okay, the people on Roseanne who were writing it and producing it and acting in it, they're pretty well healed. But there were a lot of people working on that show that were working people of the kind that that show is you know, purported to represent. And they're going to feel the loss of that job. The other thing you brought up is interesting, that not only has her show been canceled, but the really fine show that she did back in the 80s and 90s has been taken off of Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's been taken off of TV Land, CMT, Paramount, The Laugh Channel. There is a sense that that whole body of work that she did before is also being removed. And some of that work was important, but what do we do with that? I mean, it's the same with the Cosby question. I Spy was one of the most important shows to play on American television. Do you keep playing it? Do you put a disclaimer before you play it? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, well, I think they have at least begun to answer that question for us by pulling it off the air, is that you cannot separate the artist from the artwork. And we see that with the Roseanne show. We see that with the Cosby show, and likely to see it with others. So,
and I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, there is a lot of great art that has been made by a lot of reprehensible people. And I am still struggling with that, you know, whether or not that separation can be made, and whether or not reprehensible behavior means erasing the art itself. That's a very complicated question.
It is, and one I'd like to explore in the future. But I want to say thank you for joining us, Bob. I know you're in high demand with this issue and others, but as always, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us here on Pop Life.
It's always my great pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. We should also note that among Roseanne's many post-tweet tweets, she cited her use of the sleep aid Ambien as an excuse. The drug maker's response: racism is not a side effect of our drug. I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this saga. Thanks for listening to Pop Life. Like the Pop Life Facebook page to keep up with the show. That's at Pop Life WAER. Or subscribe through Apple Podcast, and be sure to leave a rating while you're there. Until next time.